Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until one. We are 9 days deep into January now. I trust it's going as well as can be expected. Let's take on Friday together, why don't we, as we drift into the afternoon with our guests and our thoughts of a better time, which is about 5 o'clock this evening, let's be honest. Join the chats on the WhatsApp as ever, 087-032-3232, and the email is oliver@rte.ie. We have dancers, actors and comedians on today's show because it's Jehina. We're on the vibe, you see. We've got fabulous guests, but you're best to hang out with us to see who is going to be here with us. Who from House of Guinness, for instance, will be on the show. And we've a competition too with a fabulous stay in a hotel to give away. And it's going to be much sought after this time of the year, I can tell you. Overnight with dinner and breakfast in a gorgeous place. I'll tell you everything presently. It would be indecorous to flash all our wares at you so early in the day. 51551. And I want to begin with some Irish language stories about our Gaeilge. The front page of the Irish News today is about how in the north people are attacking Irish language street signs. Nearly 500 attacks on signs in just 5 years, resulting in an average repair bill of £110 sterling per instance. That's very cheap to fix a street sign, isn't it? I mean, the expense of what goes on down south with misspellings and whatnot. 70% of the incidents took place in just two council areas, so mostly in the Mid-Ulster area, it says here. And in total, it cost £55,000 in 5 years to fix these 500 incidents, which is a Freedom of Information request from the Irish News. Thought it was a curious one. In the Irish Times, there's a story about Gardaí na Gaeilge, the Gardaí who are policing using our native language in various parts. This is a report by Áine Ryan, who is chatting to Garda Éan O'Clochan, who is one of three Irish-speaking Gardaí stationed on the island of Inishmore. And O'Clochan says it's absolutely a must for Gardaí to be able to speak Irish if they're stationed in any Gaeltacht area across the country. He said some older people may not be able to express themselves properly if there's a serious situation. Irish is the first language, but if an interview needs to be translated to English for judicial reasons, it has to go to the Gaeilge section in Templemore for an independent and external translator, which sounds very cumbersome. He's moved close to home, basically. He's at the mainland village of Onkararua, he was in 2010, but he's been full-time in Inchmore since 2021. Up the coast in Donegal, Siobhan Campbell is a Garda for 28 years from the Gaeltacht parish of Glenfinne. She applied to be stationed at home. So she's now in An Clochán Lia, which is Dunglo. And she is involved in fostering on Gaeilge in the area. And she's each week on Radio in the Gaeltacht, on Barsh Gaeltacht, that programme there, talking about events and happenings in the Gaeltacht area. And she says, colleagues who don't have the same proficiency in the language often ask me to facilitate the Garda Schools programme in the Gaeltacht schools. So people who speak Irish, no matter what age, they prefer to be addressed in Irish. And I think it makes them more comfortable. And Áine Ryan says that on Garda Síochána, confirmed recently at a public accounts committee that fewer than half of 89 Gardaí assigned to the Irish-speaking Gaeltachtaí around the country, only like fewer than half of the ability to speak the language properly. But Garda Síochána says, we are satisfied there's a policing service available through Irish in all Gaeltacht stations in County Donegal within the public office hours, and says they have a commitment in an Irish language strategy 2022 onwards. And dedicated recruitment process currently holds up to 10% of all intakes for fluent Irish speakers, which is progress is happening in the language all around the place, which is fascinating. Two, and world outside of that completely, Hollywood's A-list will be assembling this weekend for the 83rd Golden Globe ceremony, which will kind of tell us where the Oscars race is heading. Leonardo DiCaprio will be there, Timothée Chalamet, Jennifer Lawrence vying for awards, Emma Stone, Michael B. Jordan, Ariana Grande. And Paul Thomas Anderson's epic comedy thriller, One Battle After Another, that's the top movie leading the nominations, 9 nominations, looks like the award season frontrunner. Nikki Glaser will be hosting again, the comedian. She was amazing last year. And hopefully she says something broadcastable that we can share with you on Monday, because it's very hard from last year's one. But of course, our attention is on some of the technical areas in the companies like Element and so on. But the new film that everyone was talking about, starring Jesse Buckley and Paul Mescal, Hamnet, the kind of origin story of Hamlet with the Shakespeare couple. Hamnet is in cinemas in Ireland from today. And both of the actors nominated for the Globes on Sunday. It's getting a 5-star review here from Donald Clark in today's Irish Times, described as a devastating adaptation of Maggie O'Farrell's book about the marriage between Agnes Hathaway and William Shakespeare and the impact of the tragic death of their son on the relationship. And Don Clark says, a lot of people are saying, you know, it's too much grief. It's like grief porn, this whole thing. And he says, well, only in the sense that Martin Scorsese's Taxi Driver was lunatic porn. So he's giving it a buzzy review. And of course, we spoke to Jesse's dad, Tim Buckley, here on Monday when she won the Critics' Choice Award last Sunday. And it was a fantastic honour, of course, he said, for the family, which have their boots on the ground and their head in the right place. But she will take the rest of the award season in her stride, including the possible Academy Award nomination in 2 weeks' time, or in a week's time, whenever that is. I think it's 2 weeks' time. So it is all to play for Sunday night at the Globes for Mescal and Buckley. And another Irish actor is starring in a separate film also coming out in cinemas today, 007 and Meath Man Pierce Brosnan, who's playing the late boxing trainer Brendan Ingle, a dub who coached Prince Nazim Hamid, the superstar boxer of the mid-1990s. So he just had to put on a Dublin accent in the film, Northside. You know, there should be no bother to a man from Navan. Pierce Brosnan, and his middle name is Brendan as well, by the way. So Pierce Brendan Brosnan with his Dublin accent in the movie Giant.
They'll hate you because you're different. They'll hate you because you're better. Let them. It's the reason the halls are packed for your fights and half dead for the rest. Same every tournament, right? Yeah. Let them hate you. Let them hate you. Never let them steal what's yours, okay? You hear me?
Yeah.
You get what you've earned, what you're owed. And you don't ask politely. You take it. You demand it. Respect, recognition, all of it.
And how do I do that?
You're training every day. So their 3 days makes you what?
Better.
So doubling down and training twice a day will make you what? It'll make you unbeatable. Go on now. Get in that ring. You know 4 ways to fight? Well, now you're going to learn the fifth.
Absolutely shocking. That's a shocker now. All he had to do was listen to a bit of Damien Dempsey. And he got old. He got old right there at one stage. But how was he saying twice? Just say twice, Pierce. Doubling down twice. Go on.
Doubling down and training twice a day.
Twice.
I'll make you what?
This man is Irish. I thought that film was going to be very good. That's Giant, which is, I don't know what the reviews are saying about it, but the reviews and the accent now wouldn't be great, would they, to be honest? Seems to be the most approachable A-list celebrity, I would say, on the planet. Apparently, you go up to Pierce Brosnan and say hello. He's a delight. Now, Traitors US launched last night. The British one is on BBC at the moment. Maura Higgins made her first appearance in the American version, which is on a thing called Peacock over there as part of the NBC company. And the show also includes Taylor Swift's future mother-in-law, Donna Kelsey, so Travis's mother, Real Housewife Lisa Rinna. And there are former Olympians, reality stars from Survivor, Love Island over there, RuPaul's Drag Race, a couple of actors and singers that we don't really know. But when we met her in Love Island, Maura was, she's in the Traitor's Castle because she hosted the Love Island After Sun show in America. So they kind of know her a bit in the reality world. And she coined all sorts of terms and so on. But in some of her recorded bits for Traitors, away from the other contestants, she said she hopes to be chosen as a traitor. Traitor. Go on, Maura.
I've got a brain in there. I watch a lot of true crime. I know how a serial killer works. That's so evil.
Well, I'm starting off wearing a cape, so I'm hoping I'm a traitor and I hope to kill everyone one by one. That sounded really devious, didn't
it? It does. Can you imagine the American audience, the reaction to that, being introduced to their first Longford woman? For the first time, you have to love her, tray her. They wouldn't have a clue what she's saying. I don't believe she was chosen as a traitor. Is this a spoiler? I don't think so. The fourth season of the US edition is what this is. And they're playing for up to $250,000. That's a fair whack of money. It's hosted by Alan Cumming. who got his Hollywood Walk of Fame star only yesterday. And the English one had the most explosive episode in its history last night. I don't know anything about it, so I wouldn't even be able to spoil it for you. But spoiler alert, the US President, Donald Trump, gave a 2-hour interview to the New York Times. It's quite fascinating to see the photograph. 4 journalists from the Times opposite him. No video, just photographs, and they recorded the audio. Very detailed, very measured reactions from him for once. No blow-ups or walkouts, and they challenged him quite a lot, sometimes en masse. We got a glimpse of his terrifying worldview. Yeah, a glimpse of terrifying grief. That is the word that came to mind. And some matters that are also in his favour that are rarely mentioned. He said the murder rate in the US is the lowest it's been for decades. I looked it up. It's true. A mere 6,000 murders in America last year. But that is a fall of up to 50% in some cities like Birmingham and Alabama, 20% down in New York. So those things are true. The Guardian has a list of the highlights. What has he been saying? He basically talked about everything from international law, Taiwan, Greenland and weight loss drugs. So Venezuela, which feels like a long time ago, was only last Friday night, Saturday morning. He asked how long he'd be running Venezuela, which is his words. He said it'd be much longer than a year. And talking about the international law, which people says it's a very flagrant breach of international law. He says, I don't need international law. When he was asked if there are any limits on his powers on the world stage, he said, yeah, there's one thing, my own morality, my own mind. And said he's getting along very well with the interim, corrupt regime that's in Venezuela, essentially saying Marco Rubio is in touch with the current president at the moment, and says they're going to get the oil, basically. He's a naked ambition on the oil there. What about Greenland? He says ownership of Greenland is important. It's a thing you can't do without. The lease or treaty, that's not going to work. I need ownership. It's physiologically, psychologically needed for success. When asked by the Times whether obtaining Greenland or preserving the NATO alliance was more important, he declined to answer, but he acknowledged that it may be a choice between the two options, which will make them just as frightened in Denmark as ever. Now, he does say Taiwan is safe for now, because this is a conversation about him setting the precedent for China to invade Taiwan. He said there's no similarities between those two scenarios at all. That Xi Jinping of China, he said it was up to him what he wants to do with Taiwan, but added he'd be very unhappy if he was to invade Taiwan, the Chinese. And he doesn't believe that Xi would make such a move while he's in power. He may do it after we have a different president, but I don't think he's going to do it with me as president, which sounded vaguely threatening. He doesn't seem to care very much. The nuclear arms control treaty with Russia is going to lapse in February after 16 years. But overall, the Times is reporting that Trump was, you know, he tried on a full range of the personas that he's used for decades. Complainer, father figure, gracious host. He was dispensing his Diet Cokes nonstop with his red button. But even when taking on questions on his health, a topic that has angered him, he stayed calm, according to the Times journalist. When asked whether he'd taken Ozempic, the weight loss drug, he appeared to make a joke saying, I probably should. And then he gave them a tour of his renovations in the White House. They even went into the private study, which is now a pseudo gift shop, they call it. It was famously the site of one of Bill Clinton's encounters with Monica Lewinsky, which Trump, they told us, refers to as the Monica Room, which is either a sense of humour or a very, very dark mind. So during the conversation as well, and he's chatting to journalists like David Sanger and Katie Rogers of the New York Times, he gets a phone call from a Fox News host, Brett Baier. And this is what happens. I think this is fascinating, that these fellas can just ring up the US president willy-nilly.
Brett, I'm being interviewed by David Sanger and a group of the most brilliant people that you, Katie Rogers, a group of the most brilliant people you've ever seen. I've actually agreed to an interview with the New York Times. Can you believe it? So they only treat me badly, but, you know, I won in a landslide, so I guess it can't be that important. All right. Okay, I'll talk to you later. You take care, okay?
Bye. I'll let you go. Yeah, talk to you later and dictate international policy at a later date, because he gets it from TV and they just repeat what he says often. Brett Baier, of course, is his name. Are we humans or are we dancers? 51551 is the text. It's Friday. I think The Killers seems appropriate. Oh dear, I didn't think this through.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the